Well, hello, listeners. This is Kelly Rouse Brown, Coach Kelly, here with Laura Hall, Coach Laura, and Jane Helm, Coach Jane, with Money Mentor Group. And we are having some coaching conversation around financial independence today, which I think is a really important topic. I'm really looking forward to this conversation and getting some tips from you, Jane. And I think a good place maybe to start is just, why be independent with money? Why do we start there?
I think having an independent point of view with your money is empowering. I think that many of us share our money with a significant other or a spouse or a partner, and we're pretty proud of doing that. We're letting go and commingling our funds, and for a lot of people, that works. And even if it's working, I do feel that having a sense of independence only enhances any other relationship you're in.
Wonderful, wonderful. So empowerment, I love that word. It's so important for us all to feel empowered and have the proper tools to get there. And I mean, last night I had a conversation going in two different directions with my husband about money. What I was thinking and what I was saying really did not feel like it was in alignment. Is that a pretty common, kind of hurdle you have to get over?
I think it's extremely common. We're not raised to talk about money. So we don't have any practice with it. And oftentimes we'll be thinking one thing and what's coming out of our mouth could be something completely different. And it's very emotionally based. So maybe what you're thinking and what you're saying, it's different emotions. And a lot of times people are having a negative emotion on the inside, but they're kind of sugarcoating it on the outside. So they're not really being heard and really finding their voice with money.
Yeah, so that's interesting to me. Like, you had that experience last night, Cal?
We did.
So I'm curious because I don't know. I'm sure I've been there, but I'm having a hard time like pulling up and like thinking of, oh, when would I have done that? So what did it look like for you?
Well, I personally had a little car problem this week, and $150 belt. Broken belt on my car turned into an $1,800 expense. So of course that changed, the dollars added up. And so we, started to talk about, a budget and where the fund's going to come from. And you start to look at, you know, where do we pool the funds to cover these emergency expenses that we're not always prepared for. And so it's a starting point for us. This car problem this week put us on track.
So it was a catalyst for you to have this conversation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And oftentimes when a dollar amount increases, our emotions increase. Uh-huh. So many times if you were talking about $150, the conversation may have been not even one. Right? You may not have even had a conversation, but because it turned into much more than that, then the need for the conversation came up. And it can be very cathartic, although it has to do with the volume of dollars. Uh-huh. Sometimes that is the catalyst for the conversation.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Right? We all have that. Well, most of us fortunate people have that buffer where we're like, oh, don't even need to talk about this. I know exactly how we're paying for it. Right? So it's when we don't know exactly how we're paying for it, whatever it is, that the conversations can start, and then the underlying emotions can either derail the conversation or move it forward.
What has it looked like for you being a coach, a money mentor coach, with couples? I'm sure you coach couples and individuals alike. So let's just take a peek in my world with couples and seeing something get a little derailed. How do you get a team back on track that's getting derailed?
Well, like any other coach, I look for what strengths each team member has. Mm-hmm. So when I work with couples, I do several assessments prior to us ever getting together. One of those is a money personality assessment. So from the get-go, I know whether they're an avoider, they're a spender, they're a hoarder, what that money personality is. And most couples, you've heard the expression opposites attract. Well, it's true with money personalities as well. So that gives me a big clue right there. And I open up to both members of the couple about that money personality. We dig even deeper, if necessary, into the money story that they both grew up with and what messages they got about money. Because again, I find no two members of a couple have grown up the same way around money. In some households, it's a secret. Some households, the parents did talk about it. Some households, money was a problem. And as young couples, I know when I was falling in love with my husband, we never talked about money. We were just too much in love. We were going to conquer the world. There was not going to be any problems.
Money didn't matter.
Money
right?
didn't matter.
You don't need money. You got love.
Right. We're going to conquer all. So if we can dig down into the money story, I can always find a parallel with the behavior today. That along with the money personality assessment, it's getting the couples, each member of the couple, to have a clearer understanding of the why emotionally, what's the other one. And then I work on communication tools around language that they can use, around parameters, around having that money talk. You might make a time constraint where you say, we're going to do this for 20 minutes at most. No matter if we're not done, whatever, let's set a time limit. Or if one person's shutting down, they may say, look, we got to come back to this on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Or you set a date to do it. And starting to learn how to talk about the money and making those decisions.
So is it different principles when you're talking to somebody that's single versus in a relationship where their money's being shared?
I think it is very different. They're making decisions on their own behalf, and they're not responsible for somebody else's emotions. So when I'm dealing with single people, it's usually younger people that are just launching out and find themselves in a lot of either credit card debt or student loan debt.
Mm, yeah.
And with anybody I work with, actually, individuals or couples, we do a deep dive into how you make financial decisions. What's your approach to a financial decision? With a single person, that's a lot faster for me to help with than with couples.
I would also think possibly like people who are recently widowed or divorced would be another kind of interesting individual to work with.
So one of the reasons I think this topic is so important for everybody, but especially women, is that women are more likely to become independent, not by choice, either through divorce or widowhood. Mm-hmm. And the average age of widowhood is 55. So most of us aren't thinking, wow, I better know what I think about money and what my priorities are, what my values are, because we're sharing our money all along, and then we're caught off guard. So I think it's very, like I said at the beginning, empowering to be able to know what your approach to money is and how to use your strengths to get the outcome you're looking for.
Can your story change, like your money story change? Ooh, are there different chapters of that money story?
I love that question.
So our money story starts when we're really young, somewhere between the ages of 3 and 7. The early chapters will not change. Your perspective may as you start really thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And certainly this is something I'm writing a book about. I've thought about my money story for years. And new memories come up all the time. And it only validates what I've known anyway. But our earliest money story is based in what we're observing as children, because we're not making sense of what we're seeing. We're just observing. And we are, as children, you look for cause and effect. An example, if a family is struggling with money, we know when the first of the month is because mom and dad are yelling at each other. There's not enough money for the rent, right? So money is a flashpoint and money is scary. So that would be an early seed for you. Some of the sayings we grow up with around money are some of those seeds in the early chapters of our money story. And all those sayings that you take for granted, have themes behind them.
Like money doesn't grow on trees.
So that was the saying I grew up with, and that's based in scarcity mode.
Uh-huh.
There's never going to be enough money. And that was the message I got as a child.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have enough, couldn't afford it. We didn't afford it. So yeah, those are the early ones. Now, I'm all about writing the next chapter of your money story. And once
okay.
we get clear on what's led up to your behavior now, then we can be empowered to write the next chapter and make it a whole different ending.
Well, I really like Kelly's question too, because I think about my own situation. The reason I said money doesn't grow on trees is because I did hear that as a mm-hmm. child. But I look at kind of where my life has taken me as an adult, and I feel like I've been in such a wide range of incomes that I do feel like a different, and I don't know if it's my story, so maybe this is a question, maybe deep down my story's the same, but how I show up in the world. You know, when Bill was in dental school and I was putting him through school and we were, you know, a big night out was walking a mile and a half to Little Italy to get a 6-pack of cannolis to take home, you know, versus now that, you know, he's been a dentist for 20 some years, right? Like, we're in a whole different financial situation. So do you think my story's different, or do you think
I think each chapter has its own theme.
Okay.
So the chapter that you went through when your husband was in dental school was certainly one that was probably adrenaline-filled, and that scarcity was coming back from childhood, right?
But like your early marriage, we don't need it, right? We'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. But now that he is well established and you're in a different circumstance, this chapter could be all about either having a mindset of contentment, of hope, of a vision for the future, whatever your values come into that.
Yeah.
So it does, your chapters evolve.
Uh-huh.
And that's the goal. We want to evolve
uh-huh.
with our money. So many people get stuck in the negative part. And one of my jobs is to be a catalyst to help you get to the positive, whether or not your financial situation is really changing or not. But if it is, it helps.
Now you're walking downtown to not only get cannolis, but you're getting that Italian dinner.
I know, but I love the way, I love Jean's word evolve, because when the income started coming in and it was new, like acquiring felt important, like it felt like part of the status.
It felt like you deserved it.
But now it's like, I don't need that. Like, you know, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
We're almost back to living the frugal lifestyle that we live, not because we have to, but just because
it's more comfortable.
I have changed as a person to recognize my value doesn't come from what I own.
Right.
I absolutely feel like I'm simplifying my life more now as well. Well, maybe as a business owner and making big investments and seeing, you know, how my money is going in different buckets now, that I don't, you know, there's personal things I just don't need anymore. And just sitting out on the patio, enjoying, you know, a nice glass of iced tea or a nice glass of wine in the evening on the patio versus going out to dinner. It's
so
nice.
Mm-hmm. As we mature, I think our values change, and we've kind of been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of equate it to partying. Like in college, we all did that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know that it's just doesn't suit us very well,
mm-hmm.
doesn't suit me very well. So I think we do evolve, and I think our priorities change. And I think once we've accumulated enough, then we say that's enough,
uh-huh.
right? That's enough. And now I'm ready to get rid of it. What am I going to do with all this?
I know it.
Yeah.
I
just recently downsized from a pretty large home into a small condo.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't missed one thing that we got rid of. Not one thing have I said, why did we get rid of that? So it's pretty freeing to have that mindset of, I don't need anymore materialistically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what if you, because it sounds like you've done a lot of work on this. You're obviously very knowledgeable in the subject. So if you were trying to teach somebody like how to gain financial independence, are there steps, like are there things that are patterns people can follow, or what would you say are some of the key steps?
I would say the first key step is really thinking about what your inner voice has been telling you through your previous chapters of your money story. And if it's anything that's that negative self-talk, to really question it, insert some doubt around it. I know I grew up thinking I was terrible with numbers and math. I had a teacher tell me that in elementary school, and I believed her, and it became true all through high school and college. I struggled with numbers. So to have a career with numbers now is almost ironic. Mm-hmm. Right? But that inner critic was saying, you'll never be good at math. You'll never be able to manage money because you're not good at math. That was my theme. So let's talk about what your inner voice is telling you. Let's talk about what you're really portraying to the world. And is that in alignment? You know, so many people are hiding what that inner critic's telling them and not being self-compassionate and saying, wait a minute, you've got a good brain between your ears. You can understand how money works. You can control your emotions around this. So it's understanding your inner and outer voice is one of the biggest steps. I would say think about your money story. Just think about your earliest memories with money. Think about the sayings you grew up with around money. It's a great question to ask your spouse or your partner. Mm-hmm. It's not confrontational. You're listening to their story. You don't have to question it. You don't have to analyze it. But after thinking about each other's stories, it's going to become more clear part of the why. So some self-evaluation there is one really, really good step to take.
I love that. It inspires me to maybe have that conversation. You know, especially
with Bill.
Right?
Or have a redo of the conversation we had last week.
You can be like, hey, guess what, Steve? I learned some things today. Now I'm curious.
Let's talk about your money stories now.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that for the listeners out there, I hope you're as excited as we are about this financial independence conversation we've had. If you feel out of alignment, want to get in alignment a little bit more, talk about your money story or learn how to get some talking points around that. We would love to invite you to a wonderful event coming out here in Frederick, Maryland, called Be Independent with Jane Helm and Money Mentor Group on May 30th. And Jane, would you like to add anything about that upcoming event?
I want to assure everyone that I never ask people to share their numbers during any of my presentations. I think people get a little nervous that they might have to talk about their own situation, and that I reserve my time with clients. That's the only time I get into numbers. So as we're sharing that evening, you will not have to talk about your numbers. And I hope that encourages people to attend. And we will be talking about the inner and outer voice and talking about what you value and making a vision statement for your money.
Ooh, all right.
And then how about if somebody wants to work with you? Like how can they find you?
So my website is www.moneymentorgroup.com, or they can reach me by telephone, and that is 301-418-1488, and I will respond as quickly as I can.
Great. So if they want to come to the workshop, they can find the information at www.holistic, that's with a WHOLISTIC, womanretreats.com. I think it's going to be a great night. It sounds like it will be appropriate for somebody that's in a relationship, somebody that's single, that it's really going to be open to any woman that's in the Frederick area that can get downtown on that Wednesday and join us for dinner and a workshop.
Sounds like it's going to be great.
Let's get empowered and be thinking about what your money story is until then. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.